This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Before we welcome today's guest, Nancy Van Eaton Prince and Gail Romero, I'd like to thank our sponsor. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work. We understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Nancy Van Eaton Prince and Gail Romero have worked together since 1977 when they established Van Eaton and Romero. Since then, Van Eaton and Romero has been Lafayette's real estate leader and consistently recognized as one of the top real estate firms in the country. Their firm joined forces with Latter & Blum in late 2012. Nationally recognized as two of the most powerful women in real estate by Real Estate Marketing and Relocation Magazine, both are deeply respected throughout Acadiana for their philanthropic endeavors. Recently honored as Women of Achievement by Zonta International of Lafayette, Gail and Nancy were also honored by the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Alumni Association in 2016. In 2015, Community Foundation selected Van Eaton and Romero to receive the Corporate Philanthropy Award. Nancy, Gail, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Oh, thank you, Jan.
Thank you for thinking of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Goodness, that's special.
I guess it goes without saying, you've done so much for our community. And personally, I want to thank you for your friendship. And I've looked forward to this for so many reasons, not only to discuss your business success or your philanthropic endeavors, but also to talk about what you've learned, you know, being women business leaders. And they do go women and then separate business. They go hand in hand, but they also bring different challenges to the table. So just welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'd like to start, if we can, back in the early days. Nancy, you became a real estate agent first. Is that correct?
That's correct. My husband and I had just gone through bankruptcy, and he had chosen another business, and I decided I needed to get out there and learn how to do something myself. And a friend of mine who was with the Junior League at that time, they were collecting money from young businesses, small businesses, and she asked me if I'd like to go with her. And I said, that sounds interesting. So I got a babysitter for the day, and we went and split off at one stage. And I was going to these small business real estate agencies. They were all very nice to me, and I went home that afternoon, and I had three job offers.
That's incredible.
They said, you do so well at getting money from people. Would you like to think of it?
Always be closing. This was in the 60s,
yes,
Nancy?
Yes, it was.
Was it mainly men that you met with at the realtor companies?
It was. In fact, when I got my real estate license and was looking at the Board of Realtors and knew I needed to get involved with that, there were only two ladies.
Wow.
One of them was in insurance, and the other one was a builder.
So they were just affiliated, with those.
Yes.
So you started out just residential real estate?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, who did you work with? May I ask the name of the firm that you started with? Do you remember?
Well, John Ogier was the first. There was another one right before it, but I didn't really go to work for them. I realized you had to have the listings out there in order to get the sales in. And I knew starting out it would be easier to sell somebody else's listing.
Right.
So that's why I started with John Ogier, because he had more properties on the market than anybody else did. And that went well for a short time, and he called me in one day. But he had originally said, now, I don't want you to learn how to fill out a contract. He said, you just take them out, get them sold on the property, and bring them in. I'll take care of everything else. Well, you just can't do it that way.
Right, right.
And I went back to him and said, I need to learn the whole thing if I'm going to do this. So a few more months went by, and he said, well, you've sold several properties. And he said, I have seven children at home, and I need the money. And so I need to let you go so I can get the wholesale.
Wow.
So went to work for Harry Hebert,
yeah,
selling new construction after that. And he wanted to go on vacation the next summer, and he called and said, would I come take care of his office while he was gone? And I thought, for somebody who didn't want to teach me how to write a contract up, he certainly has changed.
Right.
But so, I did do that.
Before that point, were you interested in business, or were you just really looking, I need to make money? I needed to make
money.
And sales is a great choice. So I was looking at some notes I found. You were one of the first women in Acadiana to create your own firm. And then you encouraged Gail to become a real estate agent in 1966. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So were you friends through, you know, just volunteer activities? Or
no, through our ex-husbands.
Okay, well, that's always interesting.
It was interesting. Okay.
And believe me, this friendship has lasted through
all the husbands.
Through all the husbands.
So you became a realtor.
I did.
In 1966. Did you work together back then, or were you doing your own thing?
I worked for Nancy for 10 years. And actually, I went to work for Harry Hebert also as a secretary, though.
Oh, I know.
And I was giving my babysitter the whole check, and I couldn't make ends meet. And Nancy and her father said, we will let you have a draw. So I thought, I'm just getting deeper and deeper in debt. And I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Well, I never had to have a draw.
That's exciting. So she knew how to close a sale too, huh, Nancy?
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the beginning. Worked for Nancy for 10 years, then went on my own for a year, and then we merged.
Okay. So, and that's when Van Eaton and Romero was formed.
That's when Van Eaton and Romero was formed.
In 1977.
1977.
I want to share with y'all, I was in college in 1977, and I spent a lot of time in Texas, in Houston. And I studied, this is way before law school, but I got my realtor's license in Texas, and that's what got me to go to law school. So 10 years after you started, women really were entering the sales workforce, but not in the 60s. That was really groundbreaking. So I just always thought it was the most interesting thing, contracts and real estate.
It's interesting, and you're right, Jan. In the 60s, the sales people were predominantly men. And then in the 70s, you started to see that pendulum swing, and more women came into the real estate business. This is my opinion why they were better. They multitask. And real estate is a multitasking job. But now, guess what? We see men coming back into it. College graduates. And so it's kind of a mix right now. Mm-hmm. Still predominantly women, but wouldn't you say that I've seen maybe not 20%, but at least 10% are young men coming in to sell residential real estate.
And it might be the job market, the same reason that you both went into
well,
it.
Well, that could be.
They can start making money without having to move, you know, to get a job or something. So that's interesting.
And it's usually the woman who makes the decision on the home.
I was thinking that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And can relate better to a woman.
And to the needs of the family. Mm-hmm. You know, would this home meet your needs?
Yes.
Not that men wouldn't, but I just think there's a different thought process.
But we had that thought. We thought, okay, the men, they need to be in commercial. So one of the first men that we hired, we said, oh, you don't want to get into commercial?
Yeah. He was one of your first agents?
Yes. Men. One of our first.
Men. Male.
Male.
Uh-huh. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I want to work with the families. And so we learned from him, it is a people business. Mm-hmm. It's not just houses, it's people.
And families,
and
like you're saying.
Families, absolutely.
Not about housing at all. We're in the people business.
Yeah, and relationships, because I'm sure you have
absolutely.
A lot of repeat customers or clients that once they buy a home with you or sell a home, they probably, you know, want to return.
Well, we want to keep them.
Right.
I tell you what, Jan, this business is changing.
Tell me about that with online, you know, digital. How have things changed? You know, you started in 1977. We can just probably say that you survived the downturn of the 80s.
We held on
you
by
held
our fingertips.
On. And that is an accomplishment.
That was probably one of the most difficult moments in our business. We had to switch gears. Mm-hmm. And if it had not been for the foreclosures and the bank business and the we would not have stayed in business.
You handled those foreclosures
handled
those and short
we
sales.
We shifted gear altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's work.
We're going through that paradigm shift again,
mm-hmm.
because everything is digital, where we have been for years doing print advertising because
mm-hmm.
the seller wants to see their home. That's not where buyers are looking anymore.
Right.
We're changing that whole, we're changing that whole way of doing business as far as advertising,
mm-hmm.
going more to digital, social media.
Right. Because I know people want to have apps where they can just, like if they're looking for a neighborhood, I'm sure they want to be able to look up on their phone
That's
while they're
exactly
driving.
Exactly right.
What's within
yeah.
a 2 mile
if
radius.
If they're in front of a house,
yes.
they want to know
yeah.
all
yes.
about it at that
we
time.
Have all, that's so. Where we're going. That's where we are with a lot of it right now.
So that is function.
Oh, yeah.
Those are,
yes.
I haven't shopped
yes.
for a home in
yeah,
years,
no.
but
yeah.
so if I wanted to look at a certain neighborhood, I could drive
we
around.
You can drive up to the house and mm-hmm. while it and
it'll tell you the sales price, too?
Yes.
Oh, so everything.
Not the sales, you mean how, what it
the asking price.
The asking price. Okay.
Term of art.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things have really changed. So you got through the 80s, came back in the 90s.
One other thing about
yes.
the 80s, interest rates at that time were like 19-22%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you not only had the problem of oversupply on the market at that time, but you also had people who had bought their houses and their mortgage was X, and the value at that time, their mortgage was much higher than the
yeah.
value of their home. So it was a tough period for everybody.
Right. And I guess you probably had a lot of friends that were over-invested in condos and
all our doctor friends. I don't know who got to them, but they did.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and a lot of them were hurt.
I used to work with Mag Ritchie when I got out of law school. You know, she's a wonderful real estate attorney.
She's a smart
yeah.
lady.
She's very smart
yes,
and very kind.
Yes, yes.
And I learned with her and then got into oil and gas. But I mean, I started in 1983, so by 1986,
Jan,
it was just the bottom.
That's when the bottom
yeah.
was falling
and
out.
Everybody had been buying condos and, you know.
Those fourplexes.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't sell any, but we sure handled a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one townhouse on the end of Arena Drive. I think it was in the 70s. By the time we went through the 80s, middle 80s, it was like $30,000. That's how much it had dropped.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a good time to buy if you had cash.
Oh, if you had cash, mm-hmm. it was the ideal time to
right.
buy.
Yes. That's always a good thing about being wealthy. You know, maybe next time.
Oh,
you know?
There are a lot of reasons.
I know. I know Ed Crampy used to always tell me he loved when things weren't going well because, you know, you can walk in and help people, too. You can take a problem
did, yes.
off of someone's shoulders but also make a good investment.
Those were tough times.
Were you just realtors or were you also investors? At that time, were you just focused on your business or were you buying property yourself?
No, neither one of us had any money to buy anything,
well,
but I did have some office buildings we lost, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody
like
else.
Like everybody else did, yeah.
Yes.
You
mm-hmm.
could buy a house and assume the mortgage at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, with the mortgage rates as high as it was,
you didn't want to assume
a lower rate of interest was really good. I had five children,
right,
and I put all five of them through school, through college, by buying some small houses and renting them,
uh-huh.
and that worked out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How many realtor agencies were there in the 70s and 80s once you were really established? Now it seems like there's so many, and yet there's been a lot of consolidation at the same time. But were there a lot of realtors in
Lafayette? There were five major ones, and that was Dahl Moody with American, Sandra Faust, June Welch, us, and
Venus.
Herschel Cowan. And we did band together and formed a group called Network 5, because that's when the franchises announced that they were coming into Lafayette, and they were just going to take over everything.
The Century 21.
That was the big one. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't. And we stayed together a couple of years, but several things happened health-wise with some, and others went another way. And I think Nancy and I are
the
only ones still standing.
Yeah.
Although I do know those names, you're sharing history I wasn't aware of. Like, I know Pat Colvin with Venus Construction.
His father was Herschel.
It's
wonderful.
Just amazing.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
In the family. Yeah. And then Harry Hebert, of course,
and
Stephen
Hebert. Yeah, but that was more, Harry was building. Mm-hmm. Stephen was a manager for Coldwell Banker.
Mm-hmm. But the family connections.
The family connections. Yes.
So you emerged from the 80s intact, hanging, you know, not having to claw so much. What were the 90s like in the early 2000s? Was that a good time for your agency? It seems like you were really growing steadily.
It was a good time. It was. That's when we hired Bill.
Bill Bakke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Murdoch went to Dallas. That was our... Poor Murdoch, when he joined us in 82, we were blowing and going. Then in 83, he said, y'all lied to me.
Yes, but not intentionally. Yeah.
And he left in 91, and that, I think it's 91, when Bill came to work for us. Mm-hmm. And then Bill has just, you know, taken us to where we are today.
Yeah, so. And as we're sitting here interviewing, Bill Bakke is... retiring.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really big news. I'm glad for him, but sad, you know, to see him go.
We've just been planning for the last year.
Yeah.
But we are sad to see him go. Yes.
He brings such a mind for numbers and trends.
That's the attorney that we thought we had in the office, because he studied the law.
And he's helped all of us with the trends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He loves his numbers, Jan.
Yeah.
He loves his numbers. And he is going to do something with that. You know, he's planning on
that. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So, So here we are now. I do want to talk about your volunteer activities. But in 2018, things have really come a long way. You recently joined Ladder and Bloom. It seems recent. It was almost 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Almost.
And
it'll be.
So you're a part of the biggest realtor agency in the South, in the Gulf South.
I can't remember where they rank in the nation, but it's like in the top 25.
Right.
In the nation.
Right.
Okay.
And in this region, I know it's big.
We are the top in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. That must have really changed things. You know, having, it's your baby. And it was a choice you made, but I mean, it's like you're letting your baby, I guess, go to college now, you know, and not quite as in control of it as you had
been. Well, we planned for Nancy and I succession out of the business. She doesn't have anyone in her family. I don't have anyone in my family that wants to take over. So that was the game plan.
You could have called me. What an opportunity.
Well, that is how we got to meet you, get to know you.
Yes, through real estate.
So,
yeah, I know. I'm so glad for that. But that's got to be a big transition, working for a very large corporation.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because some people are, you know, y'all have done well. I'm not sure I'm a big corporate person. It's just a change. It's a change from being in control of everything. So... It's been interesting to watch you still grow. You're still
We're growing.
Forward.
Our economy has kind of slipped back for the last 2 years. You know, Jan, I don't care what anybody says. We are all in gas businesses, all of us. Mm-hmm. We're all affected by it. So our sales have been affected by it in the last couple of years. But we see that trend kind of going up right now.
Yeah.
Kind of see an uptick.
And if I can state what I think Bill had explained to me the last year or two, houses at the $300,000 or really even lower, and lower, below $300,000 have moved.
That's exactly right.
And then over $300,000, they have pretty much been it's a buyer's market.
This year, we've seen a little mm-hmm. uptick in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems that the people locally are speaking in a more relaxed manner about the future. You know, they're feeling more hope.
We feel that. Mm-hmm. We feel that Sin energy in the office with the agents. There are more smiles going around. Mm-hmm. They're making more sales. And in our relocation department, we're seeing some all people come in.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So let's just hope.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Any thoughts on that, Nancy, about what's been going on?
Well, as I said earlier, UL was probably the best kept secret. Mm-hmm. And of course, they were so involved in computers and so forth. And I will go back to the 90s. We were the first firm who bought a computer.
That was the 80s.
That was the early 80s.
That was early to
we
be investing in that.
A DOS system, yeah. Jan. You know how old that is. We had the mainframe. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing was about half the size of this table.
Oh, yeah, and you had to keep it cool.
Huh? Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Oliver, number one, mm-hmm. but his name was... something.
It'll come to you.
It'll go tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'll come
right.
tomorrow. Sometimes tonight, yeah. Jan, it'll come. They helped write the program.
Uh-huh. For the MLS listings?
For us to be able to have a computer at the station where the agents are so that you could pull up the information, we had to pull the cards away from the agents, literally, because they didn't want to give up their manual looking up the information.
Because mm-hmm. that was real.
Oh, that was real.
Yeah.
And we finally eased it out, and they had that computer mm-hmm. there. It wasn't till the 90s that we went to networking.
Right.
And Ann Pyle wrote that program.
Did. Yeah.
I could understand Ann. She uh-huh. was the only... No knock on computer people, but it's hard mm-hmm. to understand the lingo.
Well, we think differently than an engineer.
Ann wrote uh-huh. the best.
I had no idea.
Yes.
But that was very progressive to invest that much money.
Well, we were the only ones in the state.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a open house one evening, and we invited all of our friends in the real estate business throughout the state to come and see what
your
our
computer
that big
was
old computer.
We
called it Gaston. Gaston.
And we thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, they'd like to buy our program that we've paid for and mm-hmm. so forth.
Right.
We had a house full that night.
Drinking wine and eating cheese.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody was up to saying, okay, we're going to put one in our office.
They didn't want to invest the money.
Well, I get mm-hmm. that.
And Nancy and I's philosophy, Jan, we threw our money back into our business. Mm-hmm. And we always wanted to be the first and the leader in everything, especially technology. I mean, back then in the 80s, nobody was thinking technology.
No.
Okay?
Especially not salespeople.
No.
I just wouldn't think.
No. Yeah. So we, you know, and then through the 90s, we did the same thing.
So you really were business people, business women from an early point in your careers.
We believed in investing in our business. Uh-huh. We believed in investing in the community. And that's where our giving back to the community came into play. We believed in the arts, because my personal belief is that the arts lends something to the community, not just economically, mm-hmm. but in a cultural way. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes, what's that old Sears saying, a softer, gentler society.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we believed in that, and education, and Nancy worked with United Way, with, trying to think of what was we've invested in the Lafayette Teacher Foundation mm-hmm. For the teachers. And through UL, and Nancy brought up UL, if it had not been for UL during the 80s, they saved Lafayette's economy.
Talk about that, if you would. Just the having a university.
Having
in
a
town,
university.
Having the
here.
Students come in and,
and so many of these students
places.
Stayed here after graduation and have become the backbone of this community.
Yeah. Jason Sikora is here with us, and he's not from Lafayette. And Jason, in the 80s, there was a saying, what was it?
I believe in Lafayette.
I believe in Lafayette, like I'm leaving.
I believe in.
It was hard to find U-Haul trailers and people.
Oh, it was horrible.
And sort of bumper stickers on cars.
And then billboards said, last one out, turn off the lights.
Mm-hmm. And you know, interestingly, I've heard people say there's a dearth of... there aren't a lot of people in their early 50s. Like, we lost a lot of people from
that
era.
They didn't come back.
Because they left because they couldn't get work. It was really bad.
And
people that stayed made it. But we lost a lot of talent, a lot of people
we
in that era
that
I guess were right out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit beyond that. I was out of law school and stayed. But once I was here, I couldn't get over how cool Lafayette was, and I think it's because of the things you're talking about.
It's culture.
I do have some of the organizations that you've supported: Lafayette Ballet Theater, Children's Museum of Acadiana, Downtown Lafayette Unlimited, as you mentioned, Gail, Lafayette Education Foundation. I know that you've supported UL Lafayette through so many endeavors on campus: the Alumni Association, Friends of the Humanities, Friends of Music, Raging Cajun Athletics, College of the Arts, B.I. Moody College of Business Administration, and you've also established the Van Eaton and Romero Endowed Professorship in Real Estate, all focused on education, of course, and arts. I think it all plays into the community.
Together.
And I believe that the arts transform a community, and the things that you've selected really impact our youngest, which I think is cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad we, Nancy, we convinced somebody.
That's right.
Got me sold. Do y'all meet, like, in the early days, did you strategize, like, we're going to do this? Was it kind of a team approach to, we're going to focus on the arts or education? Was it a, you know, like a friendly thing? Or do y'all really sit down and strategically discuss that type of stuff?
Well, we've never done anything.
We have lunch every day and we strategize. Okay. Those are our board meetings.
Yeah. Okay. Using your time well, multitasking.
We multitask. Okay.
That's exciting. And Gail, I also read online through the ABC board of the Community Foundation that funds have been raised to honor leaders in the arts, business, and culture. So I know that's probably another group endeavor. I saw that you were serving as an advisor on that board. And that's something I wasn't familiar with, the ICON Awards.
Thank Randy Haney for this several years ago. You don't tell Randy Haney no, okay?
Right.
So when he called, I said, Randy, no, I'm just not, no, just meet with us. So I did. And it's, again, at the time when people were, their businesses were experiencing a downturn. Mm-hmm. And everybody, every arts organization was coming for donations. And so Randy had the idea, if we could get this one organization, people would support it. And in turn, that organization would honor and support the arts. And there's a criteria for the awards, different categories. Mm-hmm. And I think last year was the second year or the third year they did it. Oh, God, Jen, I can't remember.
Yeah, I know it's at least the second year.
I think it's
year.
The second year. Uh-huh. Okay. And it honors our local artists and musicians. Mm-hmm. And they need it.
They do. They
yes,
do need
they
that
do.
Recognition.
Yes.
Just to remind us who's here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to
we
travel.
We have such talent. We have such talent in this town. It's
right.
unbelievable.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it looked wonderful, and the people that were honored, I think the first year it was David Egan and some other artists that have passed on, and just a real list of the top in their fields, photography, art,
yes,
culture.
Fleming Caffrey got photography that year. Okay.
Yeah, and Philip Gould, I think, Gould this past
this
year.
This year, yes. I couldn't make it this year. I was out of town. But, and who else? Oh, Landry, Dickie Landry, I think was on it this year. Yes.
This is with the podcast Discover Lafayette. I'm trying to bring that same feeling to life through the written word, spoken word. And when I saw who you had honored and who the Community Foundation was honoring, I've had several of those people on the show to give them the voice to talk about their craft. Because I think when you can hear somebody speak, it really does come to life. But it looks so impressive. I want to thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Because I remember a few years back, it seemed like, not that any organization is redundant per se, but there were several groups doing the same thing. And they weren't sustainable.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And that's what Randy was trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And you know what's so wonderful about this board? They're young people, Jan.
That's really good.
We wanted to recruit young people that believed in the same thing we believed in. Mm-hmm. And they're a great board. They really are.
Do y'all find, both of you, I'm asking, with younger volunteers and fundraisers, do you see... Are they having to be mentored, or do they, the ones that you solicit, do they kind of show up understanding that giving back is part of being a good community member?
Well, I think most of them understand that when they give their time, they give their talent as well. And that's what's made Lafayette the city, that people will say, oh, no, I'm not taking this transfer. I'm staying right here because it has everything that I'm looking for. So
what do you think?
Well, I think the millennials are a whole different group. They accomplish the same thing we did. They go about it differently. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a learning curve for both of us, okay?
I think so.
It's a learning curve for us, baby boomers and before baby boomers, and it is for them. They have the energy, Jan, and that's what it takes today. Right. They have the energy and the know-how to do it to attract young people. Our audiences are graying. Okay, my, and that's not who the audience is anymore.
Right.
You know, it's a, what I think works doesn't work anymore. And what they think works needs a little tweaking. So it's a good combination. But the young people on that board work. And, they're good.
You can see that in churches. You can see that in different things. You know, the people that are really supporting churches and the arts do tend to have grayer hair.
Yeah, we're getting older.
And that's why I was asking the question, because a lot of, I think, millennials I've met, they do have the energy and the desire, but maybe not the always the understanding that, not that you have to pay your dues, but that a lot goes into building something. It takes money. It takes perseverance. And it's not something you can just... put together. You can't just throw things together and have it sustainable.
That's
it takes
exactly.
a plan.
And they're learning that.
Yeah,
they're
and I think that. Our generation, we felt like we had to pay our dues, and we worked probably too much without questioning.
They want to be president. Not today, yesterday. Okay.
So there is a middle ground that
there
we can all agree
ground.
On.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice about being... first of all, a successful business person, having a business that's been sustained for 41 years, and then I want to get into the female component, but what advice would you have for people that think, well, I could never do what Nancy and Gail have done? What advice would you like to share with people?
Let me think about that 1 minute.
If they were thinking about, maybe I can start my own business, you know, something you would share that might be...
And there's
helpful.
So many young real estate firms in Lafayette right now. We're learning from them as well, where we need to be, as Gail said, with this millennial
Digital.
Group
yeah.
that have been coming up. And it's harder for us to grab on to what they're doing, because if we started our business today, we never would have made it in the same climate that we have today.
You think so?
Yes, I do. And I'm glad we had the opportunity when we did, when Gail was talking earlier about Network 5. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones left out mm-hmm. of that group of five largest firms.
You persevered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was a combination of your own timing and luck. You know, things are never just, there's never just one reason why you
made
it.
I have a philosophy, Jan. The harder you work, the luckier you get. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. You want to know if what my advice would be to anybody that wanted to go into business, be prepared to work hard, not necessarily make more money, mm-hmm. but be prepared to give it your all. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't go in business.
We've done something that I think has been good. In fact, we were just able to acquire Coldwell Banker.
Right.
And comments that these agents have made coming into our offices now. One of the things we hear most about is every sales meeting we end with prayer. And if anyone has someone who needs special mm-hmm. prayers, they bring their names up at that time. And these new agents, new to us, have said, we didn't know anybody did that, and this is wonderful to be with a firm mm-hmm. that still can be proud to believe in God.
Yeah, and keep the Creator close.
Yes.
Yeah, throughout your transactions, mm-hmm. and it really sets the tone for the way you handle mm-hmm. your clients, mm-hmm. you know, their needs. So, is it hard for you, and I'm asking both of you, to handle rejection? I'm sure in sales.
Oh, I'm There's used to it by now, Jan.
Do you develop a thicker
skin? It doesn't hurt like
you kind of get hard. You get hard, little hard skin. Okay.
Seriously, I mean, I know you mean that, but was there a lot of rejection at the beginning? I guess every week there's probably rejection still, huh, when sales don't go through. Or
well, you know, when we're not in sales, have not been since we went together, because we do not believe in competing with our agents. Never have been. Okay, so anybody that calls us, first of all, you don't want me to go sell your house, okay? I have no clue of the value, all right? So we've always believed, give it to our agents. Mm-hmm. And that's probably been another success of ours, that we don't compete mm-hmm. with the agents, okay?
So, right.
But Bill Bockett, getting back to the point, when there's something that the agents are upset with us about, and it crushes me, Jan, it just crushes me. And I'll go in, Bill, I can't believe, he said, Gail, they do not love you. You've got to remember that. They do not love you.
You're their boss. It's just hard to believe not everybody loves
you.
No,
I know, that's what he said.
How can that be?
What do you mean, Bill? Of course they love us. They love Nancy.
We're lovable.
No, they do not love you.
We also learned the hard way that we needed men in the management end of it, because we had mostly ladies working mm-hmm. with us. And we could say something to them, and they'd get upset with it. The men can say something to them. They're fine with that.
It's a man's world. I hate to say it, Jan.
It is.
Yeah, but some things you have to relinquish to.
Exactly. And recognize your strengths.
Yeah, let them do it. Yeah, exactly right, you know.
Now, living in the South as we do, do you think it's still a man's world?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially where we live. Yeah.
But, you know, it's never bothered me. I just mm-hmm. do my thing. Mm-hmm. Whether they like it or not. And so,
and keep on keeping on.
And just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't look back. You look back, they'll catch up with you.
Right. What are your thoughts, Nancy?
Well, I go back to one of your first questions, joining the Board of Realtors. Uh-huh. And there was one man, and he had a commercial firm. And he was really tops in the commercial end of it. And I had heard that he had said, she's not going to last. This is a man's business. This is not a woman's world. Mm-hmm. So I heard it a couple of times, and I called him and I said, would you like to go to lunch? We need to get to know each other. So we went to lunch and we talked. he turned out to be one of my best friends in real estate. And should I tell his name? He still has some family
in town. I wouldn't. But I mean, but it was respectful.
It was.
No, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. You would say that.
It was Dan Ritchie.
Yeah, he was the most respected man.
And absolutely.
And it had been a man's world.
Jane.
Yeah. I got the same thing being a lawyer. There were very few law students when I went. Very few female law students, I should say. And don't you still get that sometimes today? You know, when people, men still will say things, and I don't think they're thinking. And it's older men. It's a generational thing.
It is a generational
thing.
What are you doing? You know, when I ran for office, I got that. I've gotten that several times. I'm sure not as much as you two, because you're topping the field.
Well, but also because women have dominated this field for several years. Now, if you go, and Nancy and I haven't gone in several years to all the meetings, you know, the big, big meeting, mm-hmm. gathering, the Eagles and all of those, it's predominantly men.
Still, yeah.
Especially all the companies up on the East Coast. Mm-hmm.
And those are the management people who are at those meetings. And
it's mostly still like that.
It mm-hmm. was 10 years ago. As I said, mm-hmm. I have not been involved in that. Mm-hmm. We've got a great management team. Nancy and I are lucky. We're there mostly to do PR and to ta-ta the agents.
Yeah. Okay. But you do go to the office
every day.
I know.
Every day.
I know.
Yes.
So in your early days, too, looking back with the Me Too movement, you know, I'm curious. I think we all have experienced inappropriate gestures, advances, and all that. Was that an issue, you know, two young, attractive women selling real estate, were you exposed to a lot of that, where you had to finesse, you know, uncomfortable situations?
Not a lot. Yes, we were exposed to some of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we handled it different. We didn't sue. We slapped the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right. Or just no thank you.
Yeah, no thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't. You know, Jan, we didn't take offense if someone said, man, you look great in that dress. That wasn't an offense.
It was a compliment.
It was a compliment. So mm-hmm. I think maybe we've gone too far over, mm-hmm. and maybe you need to come back in the middle, because there are some things that are very offensive.
Right.
But, I mean, a compliment on you look great.
Yeah,
and
I'll take that any day.
So I kind of think it's kind of gone a little bit too far over.
What do you think, Nancy?
Well, I agree with her, but I'm also thinking of the oil companies at that time mm-hmm. were having programs that they designed for their employees when they were being transferred, and we had a lot of companies moving out of town, and so if we could get those companies mm-hmm. to work with us, which we did.
Yeah, we traveled all over the United States and did presentations.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it was very successful.
And that was kind of a rougher crew, huh? Some of the oil and gas, it was more crude.
Well, not the corporate.
Not the corporate.
Relocation companies that were handling the moves.
Yeah. But overall, it's mainly a male. It was a male
Conoco
industry.
Conoco. It was Orco. It was
all the majors
Petroleum.
Were here. All the majors
yes,
were here.
Yes, we had all of them in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we had helped so many of them get their employees situated here. So when it came time for them to leave and we went and talked to them, we were able to get it. Now,
I know what you're saying. I'm getting ready to say.
One man did call me one day.
I'm curious, yeah.
And he said, well, one of their employees said, well, I knew that Van Eaton Group over there would be able to get it because you know about them, don't you? And he said, yes, I do. They handle their business well, and we respect them for it.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a good friend.
Yeah, very good mm-hmm. friend, and it was true. Because you know, you can only sustain business so long if you're not competent and able to meet the demands.
And act professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the wife bought the house. Mm-hmm. You catered to that wife.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a luncheon. They had a speaker for the United Way about 2 weeks ago. And they were having this sort of conversation mm-hmm. with the speaker. And she said, does anybody have any problems with compensation? And one of them stood up and said, look, I've been with this company for umpteen years. And she said, the men get the raises and the big raises. I don't care if you're doing the same thing, you don't get it. Well, then somebody else had something else to say about in the same line. And I did have to raise my hand. I said, you might want to get into real estate. There's one commission schedule right. for everybody.
It doesn't matter nothing. Your gender.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, that's interesting. I think overall, many of us, I'm speaking for women, just many of us need to learn about being more, assertive and asking for what we deserve. And to do that, you have to do research. You can't just assume that, well, the men are making more, they're going to get everything. And there's still a lot of assumption, I think, that it's unfair. But in fact, if you prepare, like in any business, if you yeah. prepare, show up, and ask, for what, when you do your homework, what you're worth. And the same thing with handling unwanted advances. Just be prepared. Say, no, thank you.
And I think men are scared to death to even tell you hello today.
I don't know where to look at it.
That's what I'm saying, Jan. Above our head. We've had this conversation with the men in the office, and they don't even want to tell you, you look great today. So that's what I'm saying. I think it... There's got to be a common ground.
And I think some of that, hopefully the common sense will
come into
out.
Play.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well,
as we wind down our interview, I'd like to get in closing thoughts about living in Lafayette, why you're both here, why you stayed here, and why people maybe would like to either stay here or come visit and look at this as a place to move to. Nancy, would you like to start?
Well, I'm a Houstonian to begin with, and when I first came here, my husband was told that the Anslebute field was going to be what he would be handling for Amoco, and so I said, well, let's go look at your office. So we got directions to get out there, and just all these oil field pumps that are pumping away.
The Broadbridge Highway.
Oh.
Okay,
no, no building. Just all these.
Darn.
These rigs that are pumping away. I cried.
Yeah.
Then we started looking for a place to live, and there was not an apartment building in this town at that time.
Oh, Bayou Shadows wasn't even built.
Oh,
yet.
No.
Yeah. No.
South College was Tulane.
Right.
Gravel.
Yes. Yes. So, and the neighbors finally met one that could speak some English. Mm-hmm. Most of them were all French-speaking. And so it was quite an adjustment
a
to
shock.
Come here.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can truthfully say, if I had lived in Houston, I never would have gotten to where I am in Lafayette today.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities just... would not have been there. Couldn't have afforded to make that first gesture. My first sale, I had enough money to go and buy a sign to put up for sale.
Right.
And after I got my commission, my first commission, mm-hmm. I was able to go out and buy a dozen of them.
Yeah, put some gas in the car
yes.
and drive around.
So
yeah.
there's just,
mm-hmm.
could not have done this anyplace else.
Right.
It's home.
It is home.
Yes.
Gail, what are your thoughts?
Well, Lafayette, it's so unique. And you hear that from people that come in from all over the United States. And it's why so many of them have quit their jobs and stayed here instead of taking a transfer. It's unique, Jan. We are small enough to have that small town feeling. Mm-hmm. But we have all the advantages of a city. And I'm going to go back to the arts. I keep banging on that drum. But the talent that we have brought in mm-hmm. internationally into Lafayette, when Michael Curry was with the Fine Arts Foundation, through the PASA, they have brought unbelievable talent to Lafayette. Sometimes Houston or New Orleans couldn't get them, and we got Bereshnikov. Okay?
Right,
we had
right.
Itzhak Perlman. In fact, I just found a picture of Itzhak Perlman when he was here. I mean, can you imagine that in little old Lafayette, Louisiana? So it is special. And as far as food, I think we may be better than New Orleans. Okay? So we've got people, we've got food, we have culture, we have, it's a sportsman's paradise.
Right.
Okay, the only thing is it's hot as hell in the summertime. You can't do anything about that.
No.
But it's good for your complexion.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. The
so,
humidity helps.
Know, I mean, it sells itself, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It sells itself.
Well, I'm so glad you both became good friends, started working together, and stayed here. Our community is so blessed to have you both. And I do want to say Jason Sikora of Raider Solutions is here with us, and I saw you were taking notes. Jason will typically listen to the conversation and ask questions that I didn't think of. So,
well, thank you for being here, first of all.
Welcome, Jason.
I think the obvious question is one that I don't want to ask, and that is advice for, or what do you look for in a good real estate agent? Is it people skills? Is it? But I'm actually more interested in, do you have any advice for people looking to buy a house, the actual buyers themselves, something that they just don't think about until they get into it? Now, you haven't sold houses for a while, right? So maybe that's
40 something years.
Okay. So maybe that's not a fair question. But I knew when I went looking for houses, I knew nothing. And I learned so much more the more you looked. But I still think I'm missing something when I'm looking at houses.
Jason, that's why we believe in education more than anything else within our organization. Mm. So that, and there are some agents that are really good with first-time buyers. Mm-hmm. And because they will take your hand and lead you through the process. And I hope they took your hand and led you through the process.
Yeah, and we actually bought the house from you guys.
Thank you.
You guys had it listed.
Thank you very, very much.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
And you know, one of the things that everybody who comes here, and this goes way back, that they want information on, because our schools have always had a bad reputation, and they are looking for the best school district as well.
That so makes you, a lot of sense, yeah.
Yes.
And we can't give them that information. We give them the test scores and say,
yeah, make here, some calls. Yep. Yeah.
Here's the information.
It's you all make online some calls. Now. You can find that out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, certainly. Heartbeat. That makes, that makes a lot of sense. I'm also curious, did the flood a couple years ago, did that affect the market?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And how so?
Well, nobody wanted to buy the houses that had flooded before, even though they had been repaired and in most instances look like brand new. But you don't want that threat.
Yeah.
And there was, for a while, they were not selling flood insurance for South Louisiana.
Oh, really?
So, you know, questions that you need to ask. Now, that's something, flooding is something that has to be disclosed. So look at your disclosure sheet to see what the owner has gone
through. When researching houses, do you, I found anyway, that finding the farmer that owned the property is one of the best resources for determining if the house is going to flood or not. Because it's the place they couldn't grow cane. So in our neighborhood, I talked to the farmer who still lives there, and he said, he goes, yeah, we could never grow there. It always flooded. But they built houses there, and they all flooded. Like, find the farmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something today.
Yeah, I did too.
Find the farmer.
Find the farmer, yep. Okay. You talked about you were always in the forefront of technology. Have you seen anything moving forward that's going to change the way you do business?
I mentioned earlier, it's not print advertising anymore. I mean, we're slashing that budget more than in half and going to social media. One thing we have learned, and we keep track of that trend, buyers will still want an agent to take them hand by hand through the process.
Right.
They are looking online to find the house.
Well, I was thinking, especially with millennials who have just embraced technology, do you see a time where you're going to be doing FaceTime or Skype or perhaps virtual reality tours and people don't even go to the house initially?
We're doing that already.
Are you really?
And doing virtual tours.
They've
and
Skype.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Latest survey came out, though. They're going to still use an agent to buy the house. Mm-hmm. And you talked about referrals earlier. Did you... The majority of the first-time lookers are going online.
Right.
And whoever captures them first is who's going to keep them.
Okay.
And that is the secret, because people today want instant gratification. So if they go online, let's just say they're in front of a house and they want that information, if that agent doesn't pick up, they'll go to somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's just like Zillow and all these other entities out there that you buy their, and I'm trying to think of what it's called, client. They blast the name of a buyer, a potential buyer or a potential seller, to maybe 1,000 people. And whoever picks that up calls that client first. Normally, that's what the stats are proving. That person will work with that agent, not the one that calls them second, third, or fourth. Mm.
Because they want somebody responsive.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, those are good questions. And
yes, they are.
Yeah, even with the market changing, I think that we can rest assured that Van Eaton and Romero's and your staff will be there. You've been there since 1977. I want to thank Nancy Van Eaton Prince and Gail Romero for sharing your journey with Van Eaton and Romero.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's been fun listening to you both today.
Oh, thank you, Jan.
I'd like to thank our listeners, and I'd lastly like to thank Raider Solutions and Jason Sikora for opening up the studio to allow us to tape Discover Lafayette. To listen to this episode and all of our episodes, you can go to the website discoverlafayette.net, or you can subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcast. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.